afternoon, whenever you might be listening to us. My name is Jason. I'm joined by my beautiful wife, Ashley, and together we own, operate, live at, and are currently sitting outside in the beautiful, clean air at La Tavola Marque, at Agriturismo and Cooking School here in beautiful Piobico, Italia, in the heart of central Italy. Can you be in the heart of something that's in the center?
The center of the heart.
The center of the heart.
With a what are the Lonzino?
Very good. Today is 27 May. It's a beautiful, beautiful late spring day. It's currently 14 degrees, going up a high of 26. That's right there. Ooh. Sun lovers, get out your sunscreen. It's going to be a beautiful day here in Italy. Is that my good weatherman voice?
Yeah, that was good. Ciao, everyone. I'm Ashley. And yeah, let's get this podcast rolling. We have been pretty consistently inconsistent again. Maybe about a month ago, we recorded a previous episode.
The season has started, and we have a lot of work to do, and podcasting unfortunately does not fit into the mix.
I know, and we had such high hopes of even still doing a live cooking class. Like, that's going to happen.
Yeah,
oh my God. So what's been going on? Like you said, weather report coming in good and clean, good and gorgeous. Every day is looking pretty nice. It's feeling like summer.
Well, spring has definitely marched on. Lots of things going on. Our garden is basically totally in. The tomatoes are down. The peppers are down. Just a few more things need to go in. But it's looking like a garden. We're starting to harvest fava beans, lettuces, and there was something else we ate the other day.
Cherries.
That's right. My goodness.
Oh my God. If anyone knows any good cherry recipes or ways to conserve them, our little tiny cherry tree is prolific on how many cherries it will produce. Last night, as Jason's making dinner, I picked, I don't know, two kilos in half an hour. It's not that long.
I'm sure between people eating them and making a little jam and using them on a crostata, it'll be gone.
True.
You're making it sound like we have a dump truck.
No, but we haven't started the other tree yet. The other tree hasn't even begun. But we did talk to Maki, our friends from the Gelateria in Fano, and they said they're not getting any cherries in their neck of the woods, so they want to come out here and get some of our cherries. So maybe when the other tree starts really producing, we'll have them come out.
We had a chance to run out to the coast this weekend on Sunday because we'll talk about that in a minute. But yeah, the Maki is open for gelato. We sampled more than we should have.
Yes. And on a side note, this is off topic, but allergies are out of control. Oh, so if Jason sounds really weird,
if I suck it up into the microphone, I apologize.
It's disgusting, yet it's part of this. Oh, is our life in May out here. Jason gets really
I take an antihistamine every day, but you can just see the pollen and stuff just floating through the air. It's terrible.
And the one that you take is good, but it is exactly 12 hours at 6:30 at night. You'll take one at like 6:30 in the morning, 7 in the morning, and it's 6:30, 7 at night. It's like, boom.
Yeah, you can see it coming over me. My eyes get all tight and red and watery. And my it's actually really dried out the inside of my nose really bad. It's like really – it's almost hurty.
A lot of crusty bugs.
But this will be gone. Once summer comes and everything kind of does its thing and blooms, then I'm done. So it's really not that bad. It's like a month and a half.
Well, and speaking of blooming, you've gotten really into this winter off-season into the – microorganisms for the land and making sure to replace what has been stripped. So Jason has been great going around. He's got like a pH thing actually that he broke, which is funny too.
So I've gotten – what I've realized is that Gaji and I don't know what we're really doing. We throw cow poop on the garden, till it in, then just start planting plants, water them, and then hopefully stuff comes out. But I have no idea.
And you do rotate. But there's not a lot of rhyme or reason to your garden.
No, I'm not listening to what the plants are doing or telling me. I don't understand what they need or what they're not getting. So this year I've really tried to examine the plants and look at what they're telling me. Just like I tell people, listen to your dough when you're making pasta or listen to the dough when you're making pizza. It'll tell you if it needs more flour, if it's too dry. I'm trying this year to listen to the plants. And what does that mean? Well, every morning when I go down, instead of just saying, okay, they're alive, I'm going to try to
That's all you were doing.
That's all I was doing before. Okay, if you're flopped over and you're dead and you look dead, that's one thing. If you, if even if you look beat up but you're alive, we're good to go and let's water it. So this year I'm trying to look at the plants. For instance, when we put our tomatoes down, they started developing a purpley they almost look like their vein. You could see their veins through the leaves, and they developed purplish violet on the outside of their leaves. And that's a potassium nitrogen, potassium. Yeah, that's a potassium deficiency. Now, why are they deficient in potassium if we just put them down and there should be plenty of organic material in the soil? Well, the plants cannot take up the potassium when they're below a certain temperature. So it was not a problem of potassium deficiency. It was a problem that the tomato plants could not take up the potassium, so they're blocked. And that's why they get that like spider veiny look to them. So other things, like sometimes I'd be overwatering. So I thought you have to water every day for new plants. No. You have to keep it moist, but if you overwater, then you don't promote the roots from growing down. They stay superficially because they don't have to find the water. So this year I'm trying to stick a finger in the ground instead of just looking at the ground superficially to see if I need to rewater. I added things like dried bone meal, dried blood meal, kelp, dried kelp.
Try sourcing all this stuff, by the way. I think we might have gotten into this a little bit on the podcast, but this was a huge production of ordering from all over Amazon and the UK.
I want to introduce micronutrients that the latame, the manure, will not have. Manure is great, but it's not complete. And rather than using a granulated, like, bagged fertilizer, what I'm trying to do is put these micronutrients in naturally, because it also makes the plants more resistant to disease and bugs if you give them these natural micronutrients rather than just giving them pellet fertilizer.
Yeah.
That you're really, your soil's just a petri dish instead of trying to build a complete soil. So,
but it's interesting. Jason's going around and checking the pH on everything.
Yeah, so I didn't realize how important pH was.
So the normal pH should be 6 for
between
a pot.
6.2 and 6.8 for the garden.
For the garden, and that's the same for a potted plant?
No, some potted plants are different. So, for instance, your hortensia, what's that in English?
Hydrangea.
Hydrangeas, they like an acidic soil. So it's a little bit different.
So does that make it more or less? I don't know.
I think they like it in the 5s.
Okay.
So the plants like between 6.2 and 6.8. The pool needs to be between 7.2 and 7.8.
Oh, interesting. You were saying the other day how you were like, everything's about pH.
So it's really interesting. I bought a pH meter. It's this little, which I broke on the first day.
He immediately broke on the first day.
So I got what looks like, it's a pH meter. It's this glass probe with a very thin wire running through, and then that probe attaches to this little meter, digital meter. And I was really excited. I felt like really cool because it came in the mail. I felt like science class was about to begin. You have these two solutions, one's at pH 7 and one's at pH 4, and you calibrate your machine. And then I went around that first day sticking my probe and everything.
Oh my God, you did. It was hysterical. You'd be like, do you know what this pH is? Oh my God. Or looking good. Like you had any idea what you were talking about.
So,
and then you broke it that afternoon.
Well, let me tell this. So I went around, pH'd everything. pH'd the pool, pH'd every potted plant, pH'd my garden. I know the pH of everything. pH'd the water coming into the house.
Yeah, you did. You were doing it everywhere.
So, you know, and then I clean my pH, clean it all up, put it back into the box. I'm carrying the box out to our place to put it away. And I pick up the box upside down. And as soon as I pick it out, everything falls out of the top. Hits the ground, my very delicate pH probe that is made of glass shatters, and now I get to buy a new one.
The funny part was Jason said this might be why there was so much information in the box about where to buy replacement pieces.
Yeah. So
one of the first things you said.
I really try to read the directions whenever I get.
Oh my God, you normally don't.
That's not true at all.
Okay. Well, putting things together, you don't read the directions.
That is not true at all. One thing that Craig taught me is RTFB, read the book.
Oh, effing book.
Read the effing book. So I read the book, and when you get to the end of the book, there's like a lot of information on part codes and all this stuff for replacement probes. And it's like, wow, huh? What's all this? I wonder why there's all this stuff for the probes to buy new probes. It should last, right? Well, you breathe on it. Well, I did.
You drop it out of a box.
You drop it on the ground and the glass probe breaks. So there you go.
But it is interesting. Some guests were just mentioning, too, how their skin felt so much better after being here. And so it must be the mineral rich water.
Has nothing to do with the pH with the water.
Oh, you were talking about pH has to do with your skin and everything, too.
Yeah, everything has a pH. But they like our water because it doesn't have chlorine in it and it doesn't have fluoride in it.
Oh.
Which is what most municipal waters have.
It's good water. What else?
Let's see. Springtimey things. The birds. Oh, you talk about your birds because you're such a psycho with the birds.
Okay. National Geographic update. on our blog, I put... Oh my gosh, I'm about to sneeze too. On our blog, we put an update of some of the photos from... sorry about that. Little baby birds were born that were in the windowsill of the tiny 6 blue eggs. And we watched them grow up and it was so cute. And the little mama would come in and feed them. And it was just so cool to literally have a bird's eye view of this little nest right there. And the guests who would stay in that room were so sweet. And they'd leave the nest alone and close the curtain so they'd have their space. And they flew away. And we made sure that there was no little dead babies underneath the window the next morning. That no one took a dive bomb. Then, as we were picking cherries from the tree, we found another nest in that tree with two little birds in it. And those little birds were tough. They were more out in the elements.
So the little birdie made the nest on one of the smaller branches towards the end of the branch of the cherry tree, which is very dangerous because the cats would just sit. The cats would try their best to walk out to this branch so they could eat the baby birds.
Oh my gosh! One afternoon, I kept trying to get the cats out of the tree.
Our cats are ruthless. They're smart too.
Totally,
they would start bouncing on the branch, hoping to bounce a baby bird out of the nest.
Then Gaji comes by the other day and we're like, Gaji, look. First of all, we try to give him a cherry. And he's like, oh, what are you doing? These cherries aren't ripe yet. I go, just try one. And he's like, oh, they're good. And we were like, you SOB.
How are they not ripe? You can see them. They're red as can be.
He's just going to say, no, no, no. And I was like, yes, just try one. So he comes over and I said, look at the little nido, the nest. And sure enough, as we were getting closer, he sees the little bird. Okay, Gaji likes to think of himself as a cold-blooded, ruthless killer. A hunter. He was out there to like, oh, yes, I'd shoot these little birds, this and that, and kind of talking trash and all of this and saying how they just get to be tiny. They're still very small birds, but they flew past him when he had a gun. He'd shoot one. Then Jason's on the other side of the tree picking some cherries as we're talking. And Gotchi's like, whoa, whoa, whoa. What are you doing? You're shaking the tree too much. You're going to disrupt the nest. If you disrupt the nest, the mother might not come back. The babies could starve. You don't want the babies to fall out of the tree. If they fall out of the tree, they're doomed to die. And it was just so funny because he goes from saying how one of these birds passes his trail and, you know, the death be on it upon it. Yet... while it's still in the nest like this, don't anyone come near the tree. And he was so protective. It was just classic Gaji.
Yes, classic Gaji. The dichotomy of Gaji. Also, we had a barn swallow smack itself into the window the other day.
Yes.
And we were walking by just doing errands or doing projects, and we see this bird on the ground. And normally, yeah, there's a bird on the ground, but when you walk up to it, it'll fly away.
Yeah.
Well, I walk up to it and it just sits there. So I kind of nudge it gently, like, get out of here. And she doesn't move. So the cats are circling. So I pick her up, and I think she just smacked herself into the window and then kind of was dazed. And there's pictures of it on Facebook. She was sitting on my finger for a good 5 minutes or so.
It was cool. And then she kind of got her wits back.
Yeah, she kind of, you know, shook her head and
well, you kind of tried to, like, not toss her in the air, but, like, go.
I just kind of gave her a little shove on the ground. She didn't go nowhere. She just kind of flopped over. But she wasn't dead because she was looking around, but you could tell she was just didn't know what was going on. So we just kind of chilled. Ashley got a bunch of pictures. She sat on my finger for 5 minutes. I gave her pets. And then she flew away. It was really kind of cool. When else do you get to hold a bird like that?
I know. And to see the little birds in the windowsill and then the nest on the cherry tree. And that one you could just see right up again. Like the little the little tiny chicks and when they'd come out of the nest to stand on top and stretch their wings and stuff. It's just, this year has been really cool with the birds. And again, we saw the huge crane yesterday flying through the valley. So I don't know. Maybe we are turning into bird people.
I guess. Other things for spring?
And speaking of the birds, big talk in the valley, because Pierangelo brought it up yesterday too, and I went to get hay, about Basilio's hens being eaten by the fox.
Our neighbor woke up the other day to a fox got into his hen house and killed, I guess, 10.
Something like
10,
that.
10 hens. But the fox then couldn't get out of the hen house and was...
In there
at the end. That's when they came. So it was just a little warning to everyone to make sure you put your hens away. And there's foxes in Giro and blah, 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 blah. So.
But my thought was if this fox can get into the hen house, that's secure. His hen house looked pretty secure.
If the fox gets in, it can go under. There's nothing you can do.
So yeah. It's just making sure that the hen house is nice and secure for where they go at night. But otherwise... I was thinking about it. Wouldn't it be better to have them be out and they won't know? They'd only kill one or two versus all of them stuck inside.
That's terrible logic. No, they will definitely be eaten. Other things that are coming with spring, the fried elderflowers or sambuco. So, and the fried, we do, there's a tree called the sambuco or elderflower tree. And they produce really pretty flowers. They're everywhere around our valley. And there's some things you can do with this flower. One is you can make a aperitivo out of it by soaking it in what?
Well, it almost comes out.
Like a syrup?
You make a syrup.
You make a syrup. So simple syrup, and you soak these flowers in it. And then you strain it out. And it's very aromatic. And then you mix it with sparkling water.
Yeah, and it turns into very much like a lemonade.
Yeah,
like, very nice. Very nice, a bit more refined.
I'll take a white, just a classic white with a note of citrus.
Exactly.
So that's, and then for like a Sunday afternoon or when it's hot, you mix it with ice cold sparkling water, this elderflower syrup, and it's delicious. Or you can fry them. You make a very, very thin batter with just beer and flour. The trick is everything must be cold. The bowl you're mixing it in, the flour, the beer, the whisk, everything. And then you make a very thin, almost tempura batter, and you fry these flours.
And literally just the beer and flour.
Just the beer and flour. And when you fry the flours, it tastes fresh and it tastes very aromatic. There's not a lot to it. It's not something you mow down on like...
No, it's something you have either with a glass of Prosecco or a nice beer like we did with the beer from Colesi, our local beer. Really nice and light. And because there is that floral and kind of citrus flavor to these flowers, it's really pleasant. And yeah, you're not going to go and eat a whole platter.
One or two bites, but yeah. It's something really interesting. And the batter is so light that if you fry it correctly, it's not greasy at all. So,
no.
And then you can also serve the fried zucchini or fried squash blossoms with it as well.
And we made a quick video for Instagram, and I'm going to put it up on YouTube also with the recipe. Check out our YouTube page, by the way, guys. I'm adding a bunch of our Instagram videos up there to a different playlist, I think, called Taste of Italy. So it'll be all videos under really 18 seconds, about 20 seconds or shorter, some a minute and under. But keep an eye out there for more of those videos. And speaking of the videos, actually, another thing up there that you'll find shortly is the Aperte Cantine. We went on Sunday, this weekend in Italy. The 24th and 25th of May is a national, it's a national, not open, holiday, but yeah, open house for cantinas across Italy.
So wineries.
Yeah. So a lot of – and why that's really important in an area like La Marche is a lot of these wineries are not open to the public in general. So to have a day that not only are they open and that you can go in, but that you can find the information on how to get to these places. There's maps. There's addresses. There's music and things going on. It makes for a great day or a great weekend to kind of explore these different wineries, winemakers, get a great taste of the different wines throughout Italy. And we hit up a few of our favorites and went to Terra Cruda, who we get the wine for our cooking classes. And we also served some of their Reserva, their Superiore, as well. And it was nice. It was fun to go and see the owners and have a glass of wine with them, see what they are up to. He was very nice. They're so nice at Terra Cruda. And I always give them a shout out because they're the only winery for us that will deliver. So I'm always extra happy to work with them because they're the only ones who drop it off at our door. But he was saying, of course, that you know, you get the pass, so it's $10 per person, and you get a glass and a little pass, and you can go to any of the wineries and then for free after that. So all of the free drinking was where everyone was hanging out. Then a bunch of the wineries would offer like a more advanced tasting of their nicer wines and aperitif. Like a
there was a 15-20 people.
Yeah, and like the nice little spread of some. They had a nice little pork. They had a nice little spread for the little antipasti of porchetta and some truffle crostinis. Yeah. Like Jason said, barely anyone up there. So that's kind of what you figure. But the weekend with the weather was gorgeous, so it made for such a nice day to drive around the hills. And so we took a bunch of video of that too. So I'll post above that shortly.
Also, this last week was the European elections.
Oh yeah.
So we're not going to talk about politics.
No,
we
don't even know.
But here's some interesting things that we noticed. There's a lot of talk around election time. Everyone puts out each candidate's party. Like, so each candidate for like Pilbico, for example, there's the Democratic Party, and they put out like this almost like baseball card photos where everyone's looking into the camera with arms crossed and looking down. Like, how would you describe their photos?
I describe it as a photo shoot.
Definitely a photo shoot.
Would not.
So they all take one together, and there's usually like 10 people. Like
the team. Like, here's our team.
Here's our Democratic Party team. And you vote for the team. You don't vote for the individual people.
Is that true?
I believe so. So when you vote like for Pilbico, if you vote for PD, you vote for the people in the PD, not just this guy and this guy and that guy. So
Jason might not know what he's talking about.
Yeah, I could be totally full shit, but this is what I think. So on their poster is each person has their individual picture, and it's like a baseball card because some people are staring straight into the camera. Other people are looking side turn, looking down at you with the arms folded.
Yep, arms folded,
other
side turn.
Other people are looking straight ahead but hands on the hips with a very serious looking face. Like,
they mean business.
We're gonna do it. And we're going to get this done.
We mean business.
We mean business. And then they have the whole team photo where they're usually in a semicircle with some people like a softball team.
Totally.
Photo.
And with like the pitcher or with like the quarterback being the mayor.
Yeah, he's the main one. So some people do it in an open field, and it almost looks like a 90s band photo shoot. Then if they do it in the open field, some are looking off in the distance at nothing. Others are looking straight in the camera. One guy's looking down at his shoes. So it's like this very artistic, like some people are in thought, others are ready to work. So it's hysterical to see all these photos all around the little towns. And also, my favorite thing
is... I was going to say, that's not even the best part.
No, the best part is leading up to the day, like the week of the voting, they will have these, like in the old school movies from the 40s.
Totally.
They will have these beat up cars with loudspeakers on them that are like the loudspeaker on the pole on top of the car. And they'll be riding around and be like, vote for Moki. Moki is the one for 2014 mayor of Pilbico. Let's vote. Get out and vote.
You just think, is this for real? The past 7 years, we've seen it every time.
Every time.
It is hysterical.
And of course, they're saying it in Italian, not in English.
And you think, who is really doing this? And then you realize, no, there is a huge population of oldies, of anziani, of elderlies out here, and they're not on Facebook. They're not doing anything, so they're waiting for their loudspeaker announcement to come.
Oh my God, I'd start throwing things at them. Shut up, because it's so perfectly peaceful and quiet.
It is.
And then
it's so peaceful. It's this propaganda car that
goes. It's the propaganda car. It's like this old Fiat 500 from like the 70s, and it's got this big 4x4 coming out of the top of it with four loudspeakers, you know, pointing in every direction. And some, I don't know if it's a tape or some idiot in there. And it's just the same thing, the same 20-second thing on repeat. And each party will do this. So if you have four or five parties, you have four or five of these things running through town. It turned up to 11. See, I turned it all the way up to 11.
lost at 11.
It's awesome. So the elections are over. I think Renzi won. I don't know what that means for Italy or means for us. And it doesn't matter. You guys don't.
Moki won in Piobico for those following.
Oh, yeah. For you guys, following the Piobico elections, Moki's won again. So.
You know what else they do is they'll take over a little shop and they make headquarters in town.
That's a lot of – they do that in the States too.
Yeah, it's just – it's for these tiny –
You see it now.
That's the thing. Because it's like for the tiny – for how small the town is, it's funny when three shops get taken over.
Ashley's just mad because she went to mail a DHL package and there was one place to send – DHL is like the courier, like UPS or FedEx. Let's call it FedEx so everyone knows. There's one FedEx office in all of our area and it was in Urbana. And we went to go mail.
It's been there forever.
The day we go to mail a package, Ashley shows up and she's package in hand and we go to open the door and it's the Democratic Party's headquarters. That very much made Ashley upset.
I was against the Democratic Party because of it.
So that's that.
In fact, I'm so glad that we're not into the politics because everyone's been asking me, oh, did you vote? What comune are you in? And thank God we're not even in. We're in the comune of Sant'Angelo. We've talked about this yet. We do a lot more things in Piobico and Urbana. And
it's.
I'm just glad we don't.
Choosing a political side is the easiest way to polarize ourselves one way or the other. And I don't really care because to be honest, all these politicians are total assholes. They don't do anything. They just steal money from the state and
What?
They're all morons. So listen, until Italians get it together and figure out that this system is broken and there's no future, there's the future for the young Italians is not very good, then I'll get involved. But
listen,
you're just recycling the same garbage.
For sure. Italy's a beautiful place to live as long as you don't have to get too tied up in the bureaucracy or politics of it. If you can enjoy a simple life, it's a wonderful quality.
If you're going to retire, oh man, retiring to Italy is awesome. Quality of life, the clean food, the clean air, the clean living, trying to open a business or run a business or do any kind of work with the state is almost impossible.
Or so, comical.
Comical, yes. What do they call it? The brutezza and the dolcezza?
The
ugly and the beautiful. Or the ugly and the sweet.
Bella.
Coming up this next weekend, they finally Slow Food Italy, or our Convivium, is that what they call it? Convivium?
Yeah.
In Cagliari, finally got their act back together, and they're doing Distincti Salumi.
Well, do you want to talk about this for a second?
Okay, so the Slow Food, while started in Italy, they don't have their act together, really, in any of the chapters of that we've heard from other people.
Well, and we've also heard from that it's very political. So even though we're members of Slow Food, and we became members of Slow Food Italy as soon as we moved, we realized, yes, to have our place be certified as a Slow Food location, what kind of nightmare that actually was.
So we never did it.
No.
So they had this festival every end of May, beginning of June, called Distincti Salumi, and it was just to celebrate salami and have a bunch of producers from the area come, and just kind of a festival, music, food, gastronomic stands, a little bit of culture of the area and the contadini.
What was absolutely great for us was it highlighted the, like Jason said, the cured meats of our area here, but it was also the one opportunity to have these small purveyors, small artisans bring meats, cured meats and products like that from other parts of Italy. So they'd have like the highlight would be for the Marche, but then you'd have these other spots so you could get something that would be from Lombardy that we would never get.
See. Down in, you know, up in Alto Adige or from the Dolomites, or just, you know, each region had
does
it different and had a little thing. Well, from what we hear, the shopkeepers or the restaurants complained to the comune saying that since there was these gastronomic stands, it took business away from them.
So stupid.
Which is so stupid because you're taking a town like Cagliari, which has, I don't know, 5,000, 8,000. Let's say, let's go crazy. Cagliari has 8,000 people. Let's go nuts. And you're bringing three times that amount of people there for one weekend. Now, yes, some people will eat at the gastronomic stands, but hey, morons, some people will also come to your place or they will walk through and say, wow, that restaurant or that shop looks cool. Why don't, maybe next time we come to Cagliari, we'll come to it. Well, they don't see it that way. They're very short-sighted. They see it as, well, now that person's eating at the gastronomic stand and not at my restaurant.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, buddy. Well, why don't you take your restaurant and for a couple hundred euros, you can rent one of the gastronomic stands and say, hey. I mean, listen, there's 1,000 things you can do. Either way, it's going to bring 30,000 people to Cagliari in one weekend. Well, of course, they got rid of it, and now they're finally bringing it back.
They have stopped it for like 2 years, I think.
I think longer than that. It was the first few years that a couple years we were here, and then I think it's almost 4 years now.
Well, and then also, on a little side gossiping note with it, some of our friends who have a pig farm, they were part of it, and they were brought in not to have a stand because they don't think they sell their cured meats that way. Weren't they being
Whatever.
Brought into?
Kamune hired them to roast a few pigs.
Exactly. Thank you.
And I don't know what the Kamune. They hired these two, Carl and Gigia, the people from the pig farm, to roast some pigs. And of course, in Italy, you don't get paid as soon. Okay, so I'm used to, I do a service at the end of the festival, you pay me. Not here in Italy. I do a service and I get to wait to get paid. It's like this for a lot of things.
Yeah, like you submit a form.
Weeks, it could be months.
It's you have to wait for the people who put on the festival to get the money from the country, to get the money from the region to pay for everyone. And
so,
the
long
trickle
story
effect,
short, 4 years have gone by. They have not gotten paid.
No, so they're not very happy about it. But we'll be curious to see. And I'm glad that they brought it back. I kept thinking, move it to a different town then, because I don't understand. At least it was a cool thing out here. So we'll be back next weekend. We'll go and check it out.
But like most things in Italy, execution and organization is not their strong suit.
Ah, yes.
All right. Very good. Wrap it. I have to go to the bathroom so bad. Ash, wrap it up.
Okay. It's back to the quick podcast because it's time to mow the lawn and do all that outside stuff today. So thank you so much for listening. Share it with a friend. Send us your questions. We'll go over some more questions on the next podcast. This week, we're not doing a song of the week. Let us know if you guys liked that. It takes a lot of time to go and look through all of the music. So if it's something you guys are enjoying, let me know and we'll bring it back and keep it going. You can find us on our blog, latavlamarque.blogspot.com, or book a holiday through our website, latavlamarque.com. You can shoot me an email at info@latavlamarque.com. You can find us on Vimeo and YouTube, La Tavola Marque, Facebook and Twitter, La Tavola Marque, and Instagram at Ashley Bartner. And how do you spell La Tavola Marque? You guys know, LATAVOLAMARCHE. Grazie mille. Buona giornata. Have a great day. Ciao.